My name is Annie Platoff, and I'm a librarian in the UCSB Library. And I'm also a member of the Ad Hoc Memorial Group that has been working to archive materials related to the May 23rd, 2014 tragedy in Isla Vista. I curate a collection of physical items that were recovered from spontaneous memorials that sprouted up in Isla Vista after the tragedy. And then we've also collected materials related to the university and the community's response to the tragedy. So this virtual exhibit is kind of a replication online of a physical exhibit that we had during the 1 year anniversary memorial events. And so it was a very, very large exhibition of artifacts and items, and it was one of the ways in which the community and the campus healed for that 1 year anniversary. But there was always sort of an idea that we needed to have an online component. And so we were extremely lucky this last school year that one of our original group members, Lauren Trujillo, who was an undergraduate student at the time of the tragedy, is now an MLIS student working on her library degree down at UCLA. And so she had an opportunity to have an internship through a grant that her professor, Michelle Caswell, down at UCLA, had gotten a grant from the Andrew Mellon Foundation to host 10 different interns in community archives. And so Lauren approached us asking if we would host her as an intern. And it was like, well, of course we will host her as an intern. She was an amazing contributor to the original project, volunteered tons and tons of time working with both the physical collection and on the original exhibition. So this was just a win-win for everyone. And the beauty of the grant was not only did it provide a paid intern for the entire school year, but it also provided some funding for the project. So it helped us fund the reception and the online exhibit. And so that was amazing because, again, you know, this whole project is just whenever people can do it and with whatever resources we can scrape together. So having that grant really made all the difference, and having an intern really made all the difference.
And did you actually categorize and catalog every single item from every memorial?
It wasn't literally every single item. So, for example, we could not take all of the flowers because flowers attract insects. Insects damage archival materials. So that was never really an option. But our graduate student who founded this project, her name is Melissa Barthelemy, and she is a PhD candidate in history. She came up with an excellent solution to the flower problem. So what she did was she collected some of the flowers, dried them out, sent them to an artist who made little heart-shaped paperweights that have the flowers in them. So they're kind of, plastic or lucite or something with the flowers in them, but they're sealed. So we actually have one of these hearts in the collection. Then she also had them made so that each of the families could be given one. As for the candles, there were hundreds of candles, and most of them were not really unique. So what we decided was, instead of taking every single candle, we would take the ones that had been modified by the person before they left them. So if they wrote a message on them, if they decorated that candle before they left it, those were the ones we selected to keep for the collection. And then there's just an unusual variety of things like stuffed animals, lots of origami cranes that a student organization had made and also that individuals made. There are some really interesting pieces of artwork that people made and left. And again, people are just leaving these as part of their mourning process. They never intended for these materials to be in an archival collection. And now they are. But it provides a really interesting opportunity. One, it can be used by researchers who are studying collective mourning, collective memory, how communities deal with tragedy, the community on campus and how the campus responded. And then there's also courses that come in that deal with things like memory And so they'll bring the students into special research collections, and the librarian over there will bring out some of these objects for the students to interact with. And it helps them to sort of engage and think, oh, this is really interesting. Why would somebody have left this? What meaning could there possibly be behind this object? Mm.
Now, how about the memories for those who were here for the tragedy and were up close to that tragedy? There's a lot of trauma and healing from the trauma that goes on. What was it like working with the interns? I'm not sure beyond Lauren Trujillo, who was the lead person, the lead intern, but what about the other interns? Did they have a close connection to this? And you must have to help others process their trauma. What's that like?
Yeah, the first year when we had a history class, it was a special readings topical class of some sort over in public history, and we had students from that course, and each student had to do a practicum, so they got to pick their practicum. So there were about 8 to 10 students, I can't remember how many I had, that helped me process the collection. And then there was a big crew that helped Melissa with the exhibit. And then there were some that selected to do other aspects of Isla Vista history. So none of the students were forced into dealing with the memorial collection per se. They were able to choose to do that. And so they made a conscious choice of which part they wanted to work on. So some students did other aspects of, and I think every single student in that class had been here the year before when it happened. So, you know, I think they all had experienced it as a student and a member of the community. Likewise, members of our committee have had very, very personal connections throughout the entire project, some of us closer than others, but all of us have met members of the family, we've met their friends. And we were all here when it happened. We went to the memorial service. We still remember what it was like to be in shock, you know, when this happened. We remember seeing the TV cameras and the reporters that were crowding people and
out of town media that was really intrusive, right?
Exactly.
In people's yards and
yeah. So, you know, most of us that have been working on this project all along have had some sort of a personal connection, not necessarily to a specific victim, but as a member of the broader UCSB community.
And how can our listeners take a look at this interactive exhibition, online exhibition, We Remember Them, Acts of Love and Compassion in Isla Vista? There's a QR code on this flyer, but there's also a web address?
There is a web address. So the web address is Isla Vista Memorial Project, so that's all one word, .omeka.net/exhibits. And that'll bring you into a spot. I'll read that one more time. Isla Vista Memorial Project .omeka.net/exhibits. That will bring you into a spot where you can get to the entry point of the exhibit. And then you can actually experience it as if you're sort of walking through the rooms. We've got a map of the original exhibit in that site. And then over on the right-hand side, there's navigation where people can click on the name of a particular room and see what was in the room. Now, not every single thing that was in the exhibit is up on the online site. We were selective. So we have a mix of photographs of the original exhibit and also individual objects. And the individual objects, you can click on a particular one and go in and read the description. So you can kind of move back and forth. It's you know, a typical web type site where you can go back and forth. You don't have to do it in order.
And you really showcase the lives of the victims as well there.
We do. There is a page for each of the 6 victims that was lost. And then there's also a page for the injured. Because again, we talk a lot about the 6 people who perished, but we don't often remember that there were a lot of people who were injured in this rampage. And so, you know, they experienced trauma too, and, you know, they survived and they have to deal with that also. So, you know, we always want to make sure that we're not only just talking about the 6, we talk about the injured, we talk about the community, we talk about the students, we talk about the sorority sisters of the 2 sorority girls. You know, so there's just everybody's interconnected And I think that's the most important lesson you'll learn from this exhibit, is we're a community, and it doesn't matter if you're a student or faculty or a staff member, or if you just live in Isla Vista, you know, we're all connected. And so I think it's an important thing for us to remember. And this exhibit really does tell how that community came together.